Hello, patrons. How are you?
Patriots. Ah, patriots. Yes, patriots. Countrymen.
Unless they don't like football.
No.
Lend me your ears. We have a lot of stuff in the show today. It's going to be a good show. We've layered
good Dominican show
in frosting. In what? A good what show?
Nothing.
What reference were you trying to make there?
I'm making the. You ever watch on SNL when Keenan, everyone does like Sammy Sosa or whatever? Like yes. He does them on the yes. Weekend Update, and he's always talking.
You mean
about
he used Dominican. To do them 10 years ago, or more?
Who's the other guy then? That was like from last year.
Not Sammy Sosa, no.
Not Sammy Sosa. I don't know baseball.
Also, there haven't been any weigh-ins on the Saturday Night Live in a while.
I cannot know. Keenan.
Sometimes, Scott, I think Roger has gotten stuck in time.
I love that movie with Roger Chang. Stuck in time.
Keenan Thompson. That's it.
Keenan Thompson is on the show, yes.
Yeah.
And he does the...
Don't think he's doing Sammy Sosa, though.
Hold on. Jiminy Crickets.
It's not Sammy Sosa.
Update Dominican lunch.
He's okay. All right.
Yeah, David Ortiz.
David Ortiz, current player. Actually retired, but was playing.
But no, he's talking about his post-retirement plan.
Yeah.
Talking about just eating lunch. All the things he's going to eat for lunch.
This is all making much more sense now.
All right. Jeez. I'm sorry.
Like saying, let's see. It's like saying... Oh, I love when Phil Hartman does Ronald Reagan, and what you mean is,
you know when that guy does the president on Weekend Update, what's his name? Chevy Chase does the Gerald Ford, so good. Yeah,
falls down, all that.
Gerald,
I have no room to tease because I do this all the time.
Oh, I do too.
I'm the worst.
Yeah,
it's okay. I have a long memory.
Yes, Roger does. He holds grudges.
It's actually unhealthily.
I can't imagine how many grudges you have against me. We've been friends so long now.
I don't have actual grudges against you. I just hold grudges. Like
I don't have any actual grudges. I do have some though.
there's people from Tech TV I will not talk to.
Oh yeah, like who?
You know. Wait, are we recording?
Yes, we're totally recording.
Oh, yeah, so I'm not telling
you. That was a mean question. I'm sorry. I withdraw the question.
Oh, I want to guess, though. But I can't. I know, but I want to.
I'll tell you after the show. But
Eileen Rivera. That woman.
No, that I've woman seen stole Rod- my man.
I've seen Roger talk to Eileen.
I have the Fruity Loops.
Did you eat?
I ate something. What did I eat? I eat cereal. I basically eat a combination of chocolate Chex Mix and Rice Krispies
for lunch.
A large bowl.
That was your breakfast, it sounds like.
For brunch.
Brunch. That's your brunch. Okay.
I spent all morning tending the estate grounds.
Ah, yes.
Man, you know, that's the one thing about being on the corner that really grinds my gear is that people just leave trash on my lawn. There's like popsicle wrappers. You know
I'm not even on a corner. That happens to me. I think that's just city living. I always end up picking up trash in my driveway, just wrappers and stuff. People just throw stuff on the ground. It's crazy. And then blows around.
Yes. On my yard.
You know what they say, what blows around comes around.
Sounds like a porno.
You have a pretty clean neighborhood where you live, Scott.
Yeah.
It's all the salt you guys put on the roads.
No, that makes things worse. No, we have a pretty, it's pretty
clean.
Is this
real? Hold on. Breaking news, or is it fake news? NextWeb has a headline that reads, will be in future versions of Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Oh, shut up. No. I mean, sure, if Big Mouth Billy Bass added, tapped into the API and used the Google Voice crap.
According to Business Insider, the first Amazon Voice Services compatible Billy Bass comes out later this year part of the Gadgets API.
All right, then.
So wait, you would be able to talk to the bass like you would
You can tell your Bass to play Foo Fighters
or order
a box of toilet paper or whatever. Will it dance while the Foo Fighters are playing? Will the music?
I would assume so. That's kind of the whole shtick of the Billy Bass, isn't it?
And that thing was popular. I never understood why. It seemed kind of.
I still don't, dude. It's so dumb.
I mean, I get why it was dumb entertainment. I remember being totally enraptured by it, but I didn't want to buy one. I just thought it was silly. I'm putting this in the lineup, by the way.
The Breaking Silly News. Billy.
First sold in 1999, playing songs like Don't Worry, Be Happy. Yeah, because didn't we have it advertised on ZDTV? Isn't that how? I think that's how we all found out about it.
We did, but we also brought it on the show.
And we hacked it. I remember that. Yeah. I remember hacking the Big Mouth Billy Bass was a segment on the Screensavers.
I still want to know who Roger won't talk to it.
Eileen Rivera.
Yeah, but you won't know who it is. Like if I give you the name, say
it's not a person you know. Yeah.
Okay. It's not one I know. All right. No.
Let's just say it's no one on camera. Okay. If anyone's, so it's not.
I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. It's killing Scott. He needs to know.
I know. It's we'll go off air. You'll tell him. He'll be like, "Oh, I don't know who that is."
Yeah. Exactly.
I like a good controversy.
I know you do.
Controversial. It was
drama.
Not even drama. It was just a little annoyance that basically. And you know what? Done. Not gonna
It was like the piece of dust that became the great pearl of Roger's resentment.
That's right.
It's a dust that turned into the humongous dust bunny that ate San Francisco.
Oh, hey, patrons. It's probably too late if you didn't know this already, if you're listening to this later in the day. But 3 p.m. this afternoon, we're doing the quarterly hangout. So keep an eye out for the post so you can watch it. You might not, even if you missed it live, we'll have it available on demand. You'll be able to watch it there. It'll be on patreon.com/DTNS.
Patreon.
Patreon, I've heard of that. Amazon announces new Echo, because they announced three Echoes. Get it?
You always have to do three.
And they did, right? It's just the three, I think.
It's a lot of threes.
Well, I don't know. Do you count the buttons?
No.
As an echo?
All I know is when you need to kill Bowser, you have to hit him on the head three times. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm still wondering what my life would have looked like if I spent more time playing Nintendo. My dad wouldn't let me have one, so I ended up just playing a lot of computer games.
I don't know. I had a fair amount of both, and I love both. You probably just have a higher opinion of Nintendo games, or you'd have some.
You. Like I've played a lot of them, and I kind of found most of them boring. Like, it's the side scrolls. Although I did like Metroid, didn't like Castlevania as much, which is odd. But I did like Metroid.
Metroid's awesome. I love it.
I remember Blaster Master because my friend had it and he wouldn't stop talking about it. And I was like, oh, I got to play. It's like, this is it. This is what you've been talking about for the past 3 months. Because you used to get that, what's the power? Nintendo Power or whatever.
That magazine.
Mm-hmm. He was like all over that. He's like, oh, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that.
Hey, Scott.
That's me.
You may have noticed new time codes in the rundown.
Oh, let's see.
Those are guides.
Oh, I like this.
To like... where we should be hitting when we get to the start of certain segments.
So
they're 32.
So colon 32 is what?
That means that we should be getting into that section of the top stories at 2:32.
Oh, okay. Got
it. Time.
I got it. Yeah, that's cool.
Assuming we started on time, which we usually do.
No, that's great. I like guides.
Yeah.
It's like the Doctari of DTNS shows.
And Roger is going to work out a system for kind of keeping us up to date, adjusting the times, letting us know when we're running long on a segment, all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how, like, I would alert you, but you guys would have to be looking at the rundown.
Yeah, which I always am. I'm definitely always looking at the rundown.
Maybe color codes.
Yeah.
Like green or green after you finish something. No, green should be something you've done.
Yeah, I think after we're done, we don't need to be alerted we're done. It's more like you're running long is the big one. You should move along now.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's that Google clock?
All right. I'm going to start the stream. Because if there's one thing I enjoy about Wednesdays, it's starting the stream.
Yep.
And talking with Scott.
Well, that tactile experience of pushing a button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hover that little pointy thing over the stop broadcast words, and then I just push that mouse button.
Ooh. Do you get any kind of tactile feedback from that?
From
or
the mouse, I do. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
The mouse, it's the same tactile feedback I get from pushing the mouse button for any reason. But.
You know what football players get?
Football players get, Scott?
They get tact feedback.
Why did I not figure that one out? This is going to sound like a shock. My goal is to host a late night talk show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like Michael Jackson or Michael Jordan. Jackson. He was Magic Johnson.
How about, I don't know, David Letterman or someone who actually hosted late night talk shows?
What are you talking about? Magic Johnson hosted a late night talk show.
He does where?
I don't know that he is the top example of that, though.
He does.
That's the one that springs to my mind.
Is he still doing this?
Chevy Chase had one. Remember?
Yes, Chevy Chase had one. Well, yeah.
Yeah, Chevy Chase had one for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, for a hot second. Probably not the best example.
Maybe the worst example.
Maybe.
Tom Likas.
Pat Sajak.
Late Night Show.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about Sajak had a show.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he's still spinning that wheel, man.
Donahue.
This was a daytime show, wasn't it?
He had a late night show, too?
I don't think so. Not Donahue.
He had a show on MSNBC, I remember. Kind of a news talk show.
Morton Downey Jr.?
Listen, you're not naming any of the greats. You're just doing that on purpose, aren't you?
Am I Ricky Lake?
No, you're not Ricky Lake.
Christina? Tom Talk. Why don't you just call it that? Tom Talks.
Tom Talk.
I'm going to start doing Tom Talks too, where they're just me pretending to do a TED Talk.
And you wouldn't have to pay a lot to see it.
I can do shorter ones called Tom X.
Oh, nice. Oh, Tom can't come today. He has some tonsillitis.
Oh, wow. Gosh, you both made worse puns than I do in the pre-show. What's up with that?
Hackle feedback. Don't forget.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
Let's do this then. Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. Nobody else. Just you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt, Scott Johnson alongside for the ride. Rhymes. How's it going, Scott?
For the ride rhymes. Thank you so much. It's always good to be here for the ride rhymes. I love Wednesdays. Today's weird because a couple of big hitting things happened since your last show, and it doesn't happen to me usually. Usually you guys are chewing through the rad stuff on Tuesday, but today, Wednesday, gets a little extra service. I like it.
I know. Well, Twitter went and announced its thing like right after we finished the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe Jack Dorsey was watching the show and then was like, oh, wait, DTNS is over? announce the thing. Yep. Just mean. No,
I like to say to that, I say, take that, Patrick. You don't always get your way on Tuesdays. All right, buddy.
Yeah. And Patrick's feeling better, everybody. So don't worry about that. Meanwhile, Roger Chang is here with us as well. How are you doing, Roger?
I'm doing fine. I'm trying to do something without alerting you, but also alerting you at the same time.
I saw, and it was working. Let's start with a few tech things you should know. Twitter announced Tuesday it's testing new character limit of 280, up from the current 140 for most languages, though Japanese, Chinese, and Korean will stay at 140. While only select users are getting the ability, many have found workarounds. We're going to talk about this quite a bit more in just a bit.
Yes, we are. Google said it will let competing shopping services bid for ads in its shopping box to address antitrust accusations in Europe. That seems like that's always going on. Google's own shopping service will have to bid for placement as well. So the snake's eating itself there.
Yeah, and we'll see if this satisfies the regulators. Amazon announced that Google made a change Tuesday afternoon prohibiting the Amazon Echo Show from accessing YouTube videos. Google says Amazon's implementation is broken and violates terms of service. My guess, Scott, is those YouTube things weren't playing ads right.
To them, that is what broken means. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I'm not sure they'd care all that much. I was able to run YouTube videos just fine on my show previous to this, but I never saw an ad. So yeah. I'm guessing that's what was busted.
I'm pretty sure that was it. All right, here's some more top stories. Amazon said, well, forget about you. We're going to announce a bunch of products. And man, they did. New shorter version of the Amazon Echo with a dedicated subwoofer and tweeter available in multiple finishes, including oak, walnut, and a cloth fabric for $99. They're even selling three for $150 if you want to put them throughout the room because they have multi-room music now. Echoes can also now make free calls to Canada, the U.S., and Mexico from within the U.S., and U.K. and German Echo users get basic voice and messaging that the U.S. already had. There's also the Echo Plus, which has the same higher-end sound as the Echo, but automatically discovers smart home devices and comes with a Hue light bulb for $149. Amazon also introduced something called the Connect, which makes phone calls to landlines from the owner's landline number. It's unclear to me if you have to plug it into an old POTS jack or not. It's $35. Echo Buttons, which uses the Gadgets API to play games with an Echo device for $20 a pair. They showed a trivia game, so you know, buzz in. The Echo Spot has a 2.5-inch screen, so it's a smaller version of the Echo Show, but it's great to be used as an alarm clock or keeping an eye on your security cameras or your baby cam or making video calls. That one cost $129. That one's not shipping until December. And finally, Amazon announced an all-new Fire TV that supports 4K HDR and Dolby Atmos for $70. It's a dongle form factor, too, kind of a square thing.
So, all right, that's a lot of stuff. Nobody really saw it coming. There wasn't like a pre-announced thing. I'm actually kind of surprised there weren't any leaked rumors about this thing. But here's my biggest takeaway. A lot of these new Echoes look like Google Homes. They've got fabric. They've got color choices. They have that stuff going on, which mm-hmm. they needed, honestly. The monolithic black tower of Echoes of yore are, you know, they're cool and all, but a little variety spices things up and makes a lot of people happy to put them in rooms where they don't want it to look like a big electronic device. So that comes as something I expected. I didn't expect these buttons, though. I'm sure that there are other use cases for these, but now that they've shown a ring-in kind of trivia game thing, I can't think of anything else to use these for. And I'm sure I'm being very short-sighted and small-minded here, but I can't figure out why I would spend $40 for two of these things when really to have any fun, you'd need four. So I'm going to spend $80. And then what am I going to do with them outside of that? I don't know. Outside of that, I know it's cool. I guess I expected that security camera stuff that was rumored last week to maybe rear its head here. So when I first saw the headlines going, oh, Amazon's doing this thing and they're showing off all these new Echoes. And I went, oh, I bet something's happening with the Echo line and this rumored security package. I can't wait to hear. And it wasn't there.
No, separate thing. By the way, Echo Connect, the product page was not up when I originally wrote the bit for the show. It's up now and I'm looking at it and it says connect your home phone service to make and receive calls to an Echo device. So not only do you need home phone service already, this isn't going to do it for you, but you also need an Echo. This isn't an Echo on its own. This just bridges the connection so that you can make outgoing calls that will appear to have come from your actual phone device.
So do any of these say, hey, Tom Merritt, I'm an awesome thing and you should own me? Like, are you excited about any of these?
Yeah. You know, the one that really caught my eye is the Echo Plus with the built-in radios for being a home hub. You think of the Amazon Echo as a home hub right now because you can add skills and everything, but it just uses Wi-Fi for that. The fact that it can now just scan around and say, what kind of Zigbee devices you got? What kind of other protocols do you got? I'll just automatically add those in by voice. This is what Amazon Echo should do. This is what all these smart speakers should do, is have me be able to say, hey, set this up. And it'll just go and set it up. So that's pretty compelling to me. Unfortunately, that's bundled in with the most expensive version of this.
Yeah. The only bummer thing about that, in my opinion, is that the show seems like the perfect place to also have the discoverability. And I'm kind of bummed that that's not part of that. Also, it just seems like the show came out with its own fanfare and now is nobody's talking about the Echo Show anymore. And I quite like my show, but it seems like that would have been a really great device for a central hub. Because not only do you have the audio connectivity for, it discovering these devices and adding them to the ecosystem, but there's a screen just in case you kind of need that. And the fact that that doesn't have that is weird. So I feel a little disjointed about where the show is in the lineup. That is to say the Echo Show, but outside of that, seems cool. Seems all right.
Yeah, and the Echo Plus may not work as nicely as I think it does, because I'm looking at its product page now. It just says dual band Wi-Fi connectivity and Bluetooth connectivity. So I'm not sure if it's really doing anything more than it's got the built-in hub for simple setup, but it doesn't tell me how that works.
Right. I mean, we know what we want out of that.
It has it points at it in the product page as a thing that's inside the device, as if it's, but it doesn't tell me what the thing is. Yeah. It doesn't tell me what radios it has or anything like that. But anyway, these are all brand new. That is kind of great to be able to just say, it'd be great is if I got this, plugged it in, and I have a couple of LifeX bulbs, I take that free Hue bulb, I put it somewhere else. Will it just be able to handle them all?
That's a really good point.
And simplified from me saying, tell the LifeX bulb to turn off the dining room light. I could just say, turn off the dining room light.
And the reason this hub technology is not in the other Echo devices announced today, do we assume that's because they are shorter but still have the same sound quality and the kind of things that people want out of a, I don't know.
Yeah, I get the idea that there's some hardware that's needed to do it, and that's why the Echo doesn't have it, nor the Echo Spot, which is basically a small Echo Show.
All right. And the dots aren't going anywhere, right? We're still doing those?
Yeah, Echo Dot, Echo Show, they're all the same. It's only the original Echo that's now gone, replaced by the new shorter Echo and the Echo Plus.
I lost my dot and I put a hockey puck in its place and it looks the same, but it doesn't answer me when I talk to it.
Hey, did you know that Amazon's voice assistant will be compatible with the Big Mouth Billy Bass too?
I didn't know that.
So that Gadget API, it's not just for buttons.
That's confirmed, right? For real.
Amazon Senior Vice President Dave Limp said it on Wednesday, according to Business Insider. So there you go.
All right. I think anybody named Dave Limp should tell us about fish speakers. I think that's a great idea. I don't know why.
Or biscuits.
The U.S. FDA announced Apple, Fitbit, Samsung, and Johnson & Johnson, no affiliation, I promise, are among the 9 partners in its pilot program for Digital Health Innovation Action Plan. The companies will work with the FDA on guidelines for pre-certification of digital health programs. The FDA wants to come up with rules for software, and this would allow companies to launch new devices as FDA certified with little or no extra paperwork, which seems like that would be convenient since the software would already meet those requirements. So, interesting.
Yeah, I think this is great because one of the problems they have right now is being able to say, oh, hold on, this is FDA approved. Because they have to submit each device through the ringer. And the FDA, remember, this isn't the FCC. They don't care what kind of radios you have in there. All they care about is that it's secure and reliable with your health information. And so what it sounds like to me this process would do is say, if we can pre-certify your software, then anything that runs that software will then be certified. So you don't have to put each device through. If you come out with a new version of the Fitbit, if it's running the same software that we've approved of, great, you're good to go.
Well, what if there's a battery problem with the new Fitbit? I mean, I'm just throwing this out there for discussion's sake. If they say, yes, we've pre-approved your Fitbit software, the firmware you use on all your devices, love it, great, good luck to you. And they come out with a new watch that's got some lithium ion problem and it shocks a dude in his arm. Doesn't seem like the FDA wants to have their name approved on that necessarily. How do they get around that kind of issue?
Well, I think the idea should probably be that the FCC is looking over that. Right. That's what the FCC and other regulatory agencies and voluntary organizations, it's like UE, they're looking over that stuff. The FDA is just saying, can this device promise the health benefits that it promises? And frankly, the FDA's rules on this are a little lax. They're much laxer than they are for prescription drugs. But at least, you know, it's met a certain bare minimum standard there.
Yeah, it seems good. I like these kind of things.
Apple added details about how Face ID works to its privacy page, pulling in details from a new support page and a white paper. Face ID, apparently, some of this we kind of knew from the announcement, combines depth sensing maps, so it puts the dots on your face, with 2D infrared images to create the mathematical signature that's stored in the secure enclave. Only you and your phone have access to that. It doesn't get stored in the cloud. Apple doesn't take it. The data is purposefully incomplete, so it doesn't use all the data. It only uses enough that it can identify you, and the points that it uses vary from person to person, so that makes it harder to spoof. So it's using a lot of different data to make sure it doesn't get fooled, and then it's not using the same data, so if somebody could figure out, like, oh, it's always using this kind of data around your forehead and your cheeks, it can't immediately spoof you because your data may be like, well, I don't have cheek data in mine or something like that. I mean, that's oversimplifying it, but that's kind of the idea. Face ID compares its stored signature to successful login images over time to adjust to changes as you age, you know, get some wrinkles, or if you shave, change your glasses, it will keep up and say, okay, that worked. And also, if you have images that fail, but you log in right away, it'll assume, well, that image should have been correct because he had the login code. Let's look at that image and figure out why it didn't work. Also, Apple Pay will require double-clicking the sleep button to confirm intent to pay. So people worried about, well, what if I'm looking at it to unlock and it just accidentally starts paying for something? You got to take another action to make that work.
Now, if I get a cheek realignment and a nose job,
yeah,
and I have my eyes tweaked, it's supposed to compensate for that as well.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably retrain it would be your best bet. But if you did all that stuff and you logged in, it would say, oh, hold on. You know, he had the code. Let's look at what data started to change and we'll take advantage of adjusting to that.
That's very interesting. The whole thing's interesting because I feel like Apple forecasted their intent for this. And this is obviously the first time they've had it on the ground and in use. But their intent to go the next level with all their devices at some point, if this face stuff works out, will end up being the default way you get into things. I feel like they've really bought into that. So learning how it works, how it may or may not be secure, a lot of people have been concerned about it or whatever. The one thing I always come away with these conversations, though, is this feeling that no matter how secure it is, no matter how incomplete those data points are as to confuse spoofers and so on, they just see it as a challenge. They're going to just hammer on this thing and figure out a way.
And honestly, that's good. Because when Touch ID came out and people hammered away and they figured out how to spoof it, it let me know, okay, that's the worst case scenario. That's where it will break. Because everything breaks, but it's nice to know where the line is so that you can decide whether that line is infrequent enough or far enough out or trouble enough that you don't have to worry about it. I did not think that people would be, you know, so interested in my phone that they'd go to the trouble to create plastic imprints of my fingerprints. Maybe that's, you know, a stupid belief in my part, but so far it seems to have worked out okay.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see how it goes. Comcast has launched its Xfinity Instant TV service in beta, but it's only in select markets right now, starting at $18 a month. This is interesting to me. Customers of Comcast Broadband can subscribe to the service, which is available on the web, Roku, iOS, and Android. The cheapest package includes mostly broadcast channels and options to add sports and news, entertainment, kids and family, Latino. It seems like an interesting package. I guess I'm curious about how this relates or how this compares to AT&T's latest offering, PlayStation View, like everybody else is. It feels like a weaker attempt at those things. Like, it's cheaper. That's nice. But it doesn't feel like they're all in on this idea.
Well, it's cheaper, but you would get less. $18 a month just gets you broadcast channels and local broadcasts and things like that. You're not getting ESPN or anything in there. Right. It's also only available if you're a Comcast subscriber. So what this is saying, okay, Comcast internet subscriber who is not a Comcast cable subscriber, how can we get more of your money? We'll provide this service and we'll be able to provide it over our own pipes. So it'll be easier to manage. It'll cost less to run because we're not having to run it out on the open internet. But you as a cord cutter will feel like a cord cutter because you're not having to pay for somebody to come and plug in the, you know, the cable to the back of a box for you. So it's a smart move on Comcast's part. It's not necessarily competitive with DirecTV or Hulu or YouTube Live or PlayStation View or Sling TV because it's not available widely. But I guess if you already have Comcast for internet service, it's something to take a look at and say, okay, how does this package compare to my other options?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Also, I want to be a cord kidder, whatever that is you referred to earlier. I would
cord
like to
kidder. That's I was just kidding about cutting the cord. I'm not really going to cut the cord. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. It's available as a podcast and on the Anchor app. You can find the Anchor app in your app store or at anchor.fm. And we are still working on getting it back on the Amazon Echo. Boo. Twitter announced Tuesday, new character limit, 280. Talked about it briefly earlier. The compose view will now start counting down characters only when you've got 20 left. So it's not going to give you a full character count the whole time. The idea is like, just type what you need. Don't worry about the character count. If you get to 260, then it'll start telling you like, oh, you're getting near the end. It's got a little circle that kind of fills in over time if you're really worried about it. Bunch of users are able to get this to work anyway. There's a procedure that helps you to find the URL that gets sent when you press the tweet button that fails if it's more than 140 characters, and then hack that button to change it to say, hey, the new limit is true, equals true for me, and then you post it. That's a little more complicated than putting in a script from TamperMonkey, which you can get on GitHub, and that will just do that for you every time. It automates it for you. So basically what this means, Scott, is Twitter is capable of 280 character posts, but not everybody's app or web interface is allowing them to do it yet.
Right. Sounds like that's how they're rolling this out. Instead of rolling out the actual capability based on a username, they're rolling the entire thing out as a technology or as an expansion of their current storage base. And then if you have access to the client that they've flagged as okay to go, then I guess you can get in because obviously people are getting around it. Moreover, though, the idea of 280 characters, which for those keeping track is literally double the previous count of 140 characters. They just doubled it. It's so weirdly arbitrary to me. And I told you this morning on the TMS when you came on for your tech segment that I'm a little bit caught in between on this thing. My initial reaction was, oh, geez, don't take away the one thing that makes Twitter unique, which is short blurb style social media. And maybe it's the thing that makes it terrible sometimes. I don't know. But to me, it felt like you were messing with the very foundation of the thing, regardless of its origins. And then later on, I got thinking more about it. And I thought, how many times have I tried to express a thought, a feeling, a comment, a review of something I just did, whatever. And I just couldn't get all of it in without really going to surgery time on the words I was using and using a shorter link sometimes. And back in the day when it included your at reply names, it was even harder then. So I think I'm leaning more toward, sure, why not? It's a weird arbitrary number, and it kind of reminds you that none of this is set in stone and that change is always around the corner. And I don't know, there's a good philosophy lesson to be had with all this if you're really into Twitter. But I think I'm more on the side of, all right, fine, give me double the space. I probably won't use it even most of the time, but I'll be glad when I don't have to make ampersands instead of ands, and I can keep all my word space the way I want. I can use the words I want to use. And it's still not a Facebook post. It's not that big. So
yeah, 280 is still fairly short, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so. So I don't know how you're feeling about it now. I know that, did you go through the same kind of experience I did where you just like kind of weren't sure and, now you're kind of coming around on it, or where are you at?
Not exactly. My biggest reaction was to think that this was the end of an era, and I kind of liked the limit. I liked being forced to edit myself into 140 characters, and while sometimes it was too much, I felt like it was a really good creative limit that forced me to write better in this territory. At the same time, a lot of people want to use it to have longer conversations. And what I've come to believe on Twitter is to sometimes you can just say, yeah, this isn't the right place to have that conversation. You know, having 140 characters at a time. And tweet storms are great, but they show that Twitter isn't the right place to have that tweet storm either. So I guess what Twitter's doing is trying to, you know, strike a middle ground to say, let's still give you a creative limit, but let's loosen it up a little and see what happens. And that's why I think what's getting lost here is this is a test. And people can say, oh, that's just a PR move. You know, they just, blah, blah, whatever. But if they legitimately want to test this, this is how they do it. They tell everybody they're doing it so that you can see how it works, and they find out people's reaction and see what it does, what kind of effects it has on conversations. They claim that you actually get a lot more use from people when you have the longer limit, and that's based on the fact that in places like Japan, you need fewer characters to actually create your posts, and they say they get better results there. So really, in the end, this is about Twitter wanting to get more use. They want more active users. They have a user growth problem, and they think this will address it.
Yeah. Also, I'm not so old that I can't remember 10 years ago when Twitter launched and we were all a little bugged that we were limited to 140 characters. That felt like too little and we didn't understand the thinking, and we've since embraced it because that's what we know. And I think we're still going to have threaded comments. You're still going to have people that want to go off on big tirades and have a thread to read. But now those threads will be maybe half of what they used to be. They won't be so long that they're tricky to get through. The client doesn't have to load more when you want to see the tail end of a thread. Like, that's going to happen because people use things the way they're going to use things. And there's really not much Twitter can do about that. But they probably have a pretty good idea of what they need to do to take things to whatever the next level goal is. And it's probably this. So I went from very skeptical to I don't even care that much, but I'm kind of in the boat of, all right, let's try it. Let's see how 280 does. And like you said, it's a test, but it feels like, you know, the fact that everybody can kind of access us through these sort of hack around ways makes me think it's a little more in stone now than they intend just for a test.
No, I could tell you right now that that's just because they implemented it the way they did. And maybe they didn't care that people would find a workaround, but I don't think that implies any more permanence than otherwise. Yeah. It's just the way you do it is you say, don't let the tweet button allow a 140 character limit, but let the system allow it. And the system will allow it when it sees the URL coming from the tweet button that says, you know, the exception equals true. So it's just a little bit of coding, and they probably just didn't want to bother securing it. They don't mind that people can work around it.
The only thing I would say in closing here is that there will come day where they do not an edit button, but they will do a Gmail style undo, which gives you 10, 15 seconds to go, oh shoot, I've got 4 typos in there, or oh shoot, I've given the wrong URL
that
or whatever.
That would be bad for live tweeting though, because that requires tweets to be held for 10 seconds so that they can be undone. Whereas if I'm live tweeting, I don't know, that 10 seconds can make or break whether that tweet is useful or not.
Okay, I got it then. Just like in Gmail, you can turn that on or off.
Yeah, yeah. So you go into live tweet mode and it gets rid of the delay. Yeah.
There you go.
I like it. I think we fixed it. There you go, Jack.
All their problems at Twitter. Thanks. Hey, Jack, give us a call. It's no problem. We'll have lunch, whatever you need.
It's on you. I mean, it's on us. I mean, never mind. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them there at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. There's a vibrant community submitting really good stuff. You can talk to each other about it there, or you can go to Facebook and talk to each other. Whatever your favorite platform is, go to facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow to see that one. And now, Chris Christensen with weather.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. Now that we seem to have joined the Hurricane of the Week Club, one of the interesting things I saw recently was an article on tnooz.com, TNOOZ.com, which has some great travel and tech news. And TNews was talking about what the FAA does in the case of emergencies. They have at least 2 mobile towers that they can put on the back of a semi-truck and transport into disaster zones just in case the regular facilities are knocked out. One of those is right now in Key West and another getting ready to deploy to St. Thomas as they're dealing with multiple different hurricane cleanups. That's not all that new, but the thing that's changed this year is they're also authorizing a number of different drone flights to deal with damage assessment in places that are hard to get to. To date, the administration has authorized 173 drone operations having to do with disaster recovery. Interesting to see how tech plays a role. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
That was really interesting, Chris. Thank you for that. Really interesting stuff. You can find out more about what Chris does at amateurtraveler.com. Quick messages of the day. Natron wanted to write in and point out a Lenovo cell phone that's available for $40 and runs Android Nougat. It has a fingerprint reader, gets great reviews, and it's only $40. He says, I own one and it works great. I listen to your show on it and do everything else one would expect. I would never spend $1,000 when I could spend less than $100. Phones are cheaper and better than ever. It says Lenovo, but it's actually a Motorola E4 prepaid phone. Now, granted, this doesn't have the high-end processor. It doesn't have all the RAM. It doesn't have all the performance. It doesn't have the design. But if you're like, none of that stuff matters to me, my phone doesn't need to be super lickety-split quick. I don't need to have the best freaking camera, just needs to take pictures. I mean, yeah, he's right. Phones are kind of cheaper than ever at the low end. $40. That's crazy.
This is where we want to be. We want to be in a place where you can get a high-end thing and you get a good mid-range thing. And then on the back end, you can get a cheap thing. And smartphones are finally in a place where that's true. It's never been this is when you know that mobile is got it right, because you can get all three levels and make everybody happy. And it used to be flip phones or nothing on the cheap end, and that's great.
Kevin wrote in regarding the idea of having Walmart delivery people come into your house while you're not there because you have an August lock so they can deliver stuff. He says, greetings from one of your new advisors from surprisingly warm Seattle. This is one of the reasons I got an August lock 2 years ago. Well, that and opening your door from your smartphone was ways cool. But as a single guy who lives in an apartment building in the big city, this is the perfect solution for me. I order almost all my groceries online and would love not to have to be home when I schedule deliveries. I know some of you are freaked out by someone being in your place, but I really do not have an issue with this, as I was told by August that all delivery people are vetted and have background checks before they are allowed to enter your home. Very similar to Uber or Lyft drivers, and you trust them, or do you? He wrote that. Also, I don't think I'd need them to put the stuff in the refrigerator, but that would be nice. Where I really see this tech going forward is the ability for deliveries to be placed inside your home or apartment. The rash of Amazon and other delivery packages being stolen is on the rise. Wouldn't it be great for your Amazon delivery person to be able to open your front door, leave your package inside? Also, I signed up for Rinse, a laundry and dry cleaning valet. Wouldn't it be nice to just let them deliver my dry cleaning and laundry inside? I've been using the August lock for house cleaning and cat sitting for the last 2 years, and it's great getting the notification when they arrive and when they leave, as it helps me feel more involved and secure knowing who is entering my place and when they leave. I've thought of getting an internet security cam to monitor this as well, but with my smartphone, I get all the info I need. But then again, I'm just a rich single male living in the big city, so I guess I don't count. Yes. P.S. Only my nephews think I'm rich.
Okay, I have the solution to this, and I don't know why no one's talking about it. This is the hot topic of American discussion right now. what is basically a space lock, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know how like an airlock in space,
yes,
is the door?
An airlock, yeah.
And then the other door. Well,
if you got a foyer, you can make this happen right now.
Yes, lock it down so they can't get past here. But in here is a nice little mud room where they can put anything they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then they still have to get to it through the lock. It still has to be through a trusted key holder, blah, blah, blah.
I hear Roger already.
I mentioned this about the fridge with the two doors that's built into the wall.
That's weirder, though. A foyer is a much more elegant solution than a fridge with two doors. Also, that only works for the fridge.
Right.
Well, fine. You have a courtyard with a gate, and they have a slot that you put your... I mean, some houses in San Francisco already do this. You just have a slot. You put the package in.
Sure.
And, you know, once it goes in, if they make a mistake, they can't get to it. Tough.
All right.
And there are already systems where you can have a lock that only UPS and FedEx have the key to, and the United States Postal Service, stuff like that. There's a similar thing.
Send it to you at work.
Pneumatic tubes, a series of pneumatic tubes.
They should.
It's not a big truck.
And then, you know what they could? They could have it for each neighborhood, like a mailbox, and it would just come in. Thunk.
I'm into that. That's
well,
great.
Thank you, Kevin. Rich or not, I appreciate your perspective. And thank you, Scott Johnson, as well. What do you got to tell folks about today?
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, as always. Not a ton. There's a lot of prep and stuff going forward on a couple of projects that I've got going on. One is a children's book I'm collaborating with my daughter on, which we'll have news about soon. We're doing a Kickstarter for that. But if people want to follow along with the shows we have going on. Oh, I will mention this one. Justin Robert Young, one of the contributors here on the show, he and I have re-rolled a podcast and just started something called Unfriend Me, which aired yesterday. The details are a little scant on where you can get it, except you can get it on the Hotline Monday feed. You can get it on the mega feed for Frog Pants. So at frogpants.com, you'll find that information. It's on YouTube and on SoundCloud and everything else. We'll have its own feed here shortly, hopefully before the end of this week. But it's us talking about big social issues of the day, and doing it with a bent toward having people call in live and listening to what you have to say about those things. So if that sounds interesting to you, keep an eye on my Twitter, at Scott Johnson, at Justin R. Young as well, and we'll keep you guys informed on what's coming up.
Excellent. A couple of big events coming up. October 6th in Los Angeles, Justin Robert Young himself, along with Jeff Cannata, Darren Kitchen, Shannon Morse, and Allison Sheridan, will be hosting a version of Daily Tech News Show from the LA Podfest in downtown LA. Why won't I be there? Because I'll be in England, and I'll be in London Monday, October 9th. So if you want to sign up for the LA Podfest to see that, go to lapodfest.com. And if you want to come see me in London, go to bit.ly/DTNSLondon. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. Our website is dailytechnewsshow.com, and we are entirely funded by our amazing patrons. Thank you for supporting us at patreon.com/DTNS. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Smooth.
Smooth. I like the guide.
Yeah, the guide was good.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend that on TMS more. I like it. I mean, my guide is basically whatever we're doing, we sew it up by the top of the hour because that's when guests come on. But it might be nice to, you know, the other stuff that comes before that, spread those out in a more meaningful way.
And yes, Justin Robert Young will be on the show tomorrow.
Should be. Oh, I didn't type it. Bad me.
Bad you, Roger. Bad you.
Roger always punishes himself.
I enjoy it. I sinful
well, then
flesh.
That's why it wouldn't work then, would it?
Oh, wait a minute. I just typed in the wrong date. Wait a minute. Why is it 27th all the way over here?
Well, it is the 27th.
Yeah, No. The yeah. Did it get shifted over by someone?
Where?
Wasn't me.
Like in the dock. Like if you look at it, it's the numbers are out of order at the bottom. The tabs.
Oh, yeah, they are. I didn't move that.
Oh,
I didn't.
Yeah, you know that happens sometimes if someone is accessing our dock from like a tablet or something.
Oh,
or if they make changes from an out of date browser tab. Mm. Okay, hold on. I'm moving it. Don't anybody.
I've had it happen before where I didn't refresh my browser and I was working in a sheet that when I refreshed was no longer in view.
Yeah. Do you want to move it half between template?
Yes. I was trying to move it while you were trying to move it, I think. That's why it wasn't working.
I just moved it. And then you know what?
I'm going to just refresh mine. This is how it gets out of whack, though.
Collaboration.
Yeah, too much collaboration.
It has its weak thing side.
Still loading. Okay, looks right to me now. I'm not going to touch it. If it looks wrong, refresh.
All right.
So, what are we going to call this?
Your grandma looks
call wrong. It a show. Hold on. Let me do this.
Bob's your uncle.
Where did it go? Amazon announces new Echo, 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 Echo. Scott Johnson planning financial massive facial reconstruction. Cord kidder. Scott wants to be a cord kidder. Twitter. Scott feels disjointed. 280 characters is the new verified. Twitter doubles its length. Not everyone impressed. Still no edit button. 404 cheek data not available. Twitter to try twice the tweets. Tom can pronounce nougat.
I Amazon did that for all of you Australians and English and other people who say nougat.
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 What does that mean? Just why? Then why add a T? If you're just going to...
Well, there's plenty of words that you have a T that you don't pronounce.
Like?
Like Fernet.
And?
Limona. Just because I can't think of anyone on demand doesn't mean they are not out there.
And,
it's Franche. Chat room, I need English words that have a T at the end that you don't pronounce. Stat. Depot. Thank you.
Depot.
Not depot.
It should be a depot.
Depot is on the kettle. What are we going to name this one, though?
Far. I don't know.
Scott? Did he leave?
No, he's still there. He's talking to someone.
Oh, he's off screen. Okay.
Amazon announces new Echo, Echo, Echo is tops, followed by Twitter.
Yeah, we can do Amazon announces new Echo, 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 Echo. I like that.
For the very first time. Do.
You know, fly me to the dune. Rapport, thank you. Colbert, another good one.
That's his name.
What? So?
Colbert. It's Colbert.
His name Colbert. Is Colbert. Rapport, though? What about rapport?
French.
It's an English word, though. And so
Rapaport.
And nougat is also an English word.
Rapaport.
And a French
word. We pronounce it nougat. Why put letters in words that you're not going to enunciate? Klepper?
Well, okay. Every O-U-G-H or I, you know, English word is guilty of that same thing. Ballet, another good one. Thank you, Zoe Brings Bacon.
Doesn't ballet have two L's?
Does that matter?
Maybe.
You think you're... Bouquet?
They're all French words.
So's nougat.
Nougat.
Merlot.
Why don't you just send me Roger's thesaurus?
Roger. Another example right there. Gourmet. They are all French, words of French origin.
That's French funny. Actually don't have the ability to say any words with T. Their tongue doesn't turn that way.
Mm. That's why they describe English as sounding like a cat being strangled.
Yes.
Scott's having a little impromptu meeting over there.
Uh-oh. Does he look angry?
No, I don't think so. Can you do bad lip reading? Tell me what he's saying.
It's kind of hard from the side.
Crochet, duvet. Are you done?
Tater tots.
Do you need any more examples? Ricochet.
Ricochet.
Tarjay. That's funny. Plié. Nice. You're showing great research abilities, everyone.
Now let's try that without Google.
Oh, yeah. Another one. Shoba. Shobo. Is that Shobo or Shoba?
Shobo. Shave.
Shave. Touche. Mon ami. I wonder who he's meeting, who he's talking to. I'm very curious. Wow, they're coming fast and furious now. I actually said valet in the show, too.
Fast. See, no one says fast.
Fast. I like far.
Water, which is ironic, because most people say water.
Buffet. Croquet. Pinochet. Escargot. Beret. Barrette, though, is an alternative pronunciation.
Yes.
I don't prefer it personally, but it is legitimate.
Your preference is immaterial.
I'm going to say nougat, and I will continue to say nougat, but I do get so much chiding from friends overseas that I thought I'd at least throw them a bone this one time. It's not as bad as when I did nanometer for years.
Nanometer.
Instead of nanometer. How many kilometers? How many nanometers? Sorry. The chat room just displayed an impressive ability to research words that end in T that aren't pronounced.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're smart.
Roger asked for examples and he got them.
By the way, if you ever need, I was thinking in the weather thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Hunts the Wind, who's, you know who he is. So he was on, I've had him on TMS twice now with the big storms we had.
Oh.
He works for the National Weather Service. It was fascinating. Some of the best comments we ever got about the show were about this.
Why didn't I even think about this? Of course, he'd be great.
Yeah. He talks about the tech. He talks about, I mean, he was in the Navy. He's
No, I've had some excellent conversations just at BlizzCons, just hanging out, chatting with him.
Yeah, he could be really fascinating on here. He would totally do it too.
Can you get his contact information to Roger?
I'll do it right now. Yes.
Roger, did you catch all that?
I caught everything.
Cool.
And nothing at the same time.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So zen.
That is pretty zen. Or stonery.
Yeah, send me his contact info and we can talk about weather and why, whether or not we'll talk weather.
Okay. I mean, obviously it may be more to hold on to it until there's a big thing, or maybe not. I don't know.
Tell us about the end times and what the climate will be like.
We can brainstorm some topics, but I know there's some good weather tech. You know, Allison and Steve Sheridan do a bunch of weather tech, like home stuff with a weather station. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Weather tech. We'll do weather tech.
I like it.
How do you decide weather and...
Ooh, maybe. Hold on now. Yeah. Maybe I save him and use him for one of my labs.
Sure.
Because that's kind of the idea, right? I mean, I can't do... Every lab can't possibly be art tech necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's totally... You can go whatever direction you want to.
We'll call it Scott Tech.
Yeah, you could do... Well, I mean, I was thinking you'd do a monthly art tech update, but it doesn't have to be monthly. It could and so if you want to do like interview series, I want to do an interview series anyway. It could be part of that. There's all kinds of ways we can go with that.
Okay.
Yeah. But absolutely can fit into labs for sure.
Yeah. But he'd also, aside from all that though, he'd be a great standby for the next time there's some weather related thing. He'd be perfect to have on to say, well, let me tell you how we detect these things, or here's how we know the direction of the thing or whatever.
You're saying he's an ace at detecting things.
He's an ace at detecting things, but he have all the letters in that phrase.
What if he demonstrated by opening the window and sticking his arm out?
Licks his finger and does this. Yeah.
still email him, Roger, and let's brainstorm topics. But I love this idea of having him be a labs episode with you interviewing him. That's great.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool.
So talk to him about coming up with lab ideas or just separate of that?
Just email him and say, we'd love to have you on DTNS. Let's chat, you know, and then maybe we can start a thread. There may be what I'm thinking we might end up with is a situation where he says, the next time X happens, have me on DTNS, but I'll also do kind of a general interview with Scott for labs.
Okay.
Put on.
And if you're listening to this, Hunts the Wind, now you know what we're going to email you.
He very well might be.
Yeah, I know.
We'll call the episode Breaking Wind.
Yeah, Breaking Wind.
That could be your lab series. You just do a series of things where you try to break down how weather tech works. Can never sing the Breaking Bad theme because it's kind of hard to, doesn't really have a melody, does it?
I know. Whenever you do it, I hear, which is a totally different show.
Yeah. Because I know I'm not doing it right. That's
the criminal justice system. It either takes too long or you don't get the results you want.
These are its stories.
I can't believe they didn't use that. Dang it, why wasn't I just recording that? And I would have done a video mashup of you doing the narration before the music starts in an episode.
Well, guess what? I was recording it.
Okay, you should keep that.
Yeah, no, it's going to be in our full show post for the patrons.
Perfect.
2:15, mark that time. 2:14, 2:15, that's where you'll find it.
All right. Or 3:15 Mountain. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Enjoy your day. Be good to each other. I will talk to you tomorrow. And patrons, don't forget, there is a DTNS analyst hangout that we're going to be doing in about 45 minutes. And so if you've missed that, go check your patreon.com/DTNS feed because there should be a link there. Bye.